Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here is today's message.
Today, as a lot of you guys have been following along, it's this whole thing of transformed, and we look at Romans 12:2, and it's this whole idea that we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds, right? It's, we no longer conform to the pattern of this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. The song that I was going to play is a song by the beloved One Direction. You don't know you're beautiful, right? And so it's that song that keeps going and going. Yeah, it's not playing, so you can, this is obviously not going to work. So what it is this whole idea, this is Obadiah's like favorite song. And it's this whole thing that Austin got to be a part of when he came over Monday night or something. He walked in, and I was, like, dancing with Obadiah or Samson, and, like, if he had come just a couple seconds earlier, he would have seen me, like, slide across our wood floor as I'm singing this to my sons, because this is, like, Obadiah's favorite song to sing to Lauren, and he's always like, Mommy, this is our song. It's our song. He's like, he loves to jam out to this song. So I want to think about this key thing of you don't know that you're beautiful. And this whole idea as we go into the second part of our series of physical health. If you weren't here last week, we've started the series and we talked about spiritual health and we talked about being transformed and transformers, right? I love transformers. And the whole idea of that it goes from something ordinary to something extraordinary. Something that's like, okay, whatever, it's a car, it's a semi-truck, or for me it was Beast Wars, I loved the animals, to something like extraordinary, kick butt, lasers, guns, missiles, awesome. Right? And so it talks about, we see that God has called us from ordinary to extraordinary. But not only that, but in the cartoon that I grew up watching, they would form together and form this megabot, and together they could do anything. It was incredible. Like, anytime the Decepticons came and they're like, oh no, we can't face them by ourselves, right? They'd be like, form together. And then it'd be like one huge, like, it is awesome, right? And so it's this whole idea that when we come together, yeah, individually formed from ordinary to extraordinary, but when we come together, something incredible happens. We form this megabot for God that we can really be used by him, and it's something incredible that we see. And what I love is Matthew, it talks about this verse. It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Talking about, we need to forcefully advance the kingdom of God in our schools, in our families, in our communities, in the world that's around us. We need to forcefully advance God's gospel, because that's why we are here. God's given us an amazing plan, and he's given us everything that we need to have to accomplish it. And so we talked about habits last week, habits of hanging out with God, habits of attending church, and not just coming and showing up, but being the church. Literally saying, hey, I want to live life with you. What does that look like? How is your life going? What's God showing you, and what are you doing about it? Asking the tough questions and answering them. That's what attending church, that's what showing up to church is all about, right? So attending church, B is being generous, I is investing in Christian friendships, T is telling your story, figuring out God's doing amazing things in your life. You need to figure out, how do I share that with other people? And then S was serving others. And so we talked about all those things, that those habits set us up for success. And we realize that those habits don't make us necessarily more of a Christian. It doesn't make God love us more. But those habits are like a gym membership. You need to go to the gym to actually work out, actually develop muscles so that you can do something. You can be the scrawniest person and own a gym membership, and nothing will change until you go to the gym and put into practice some of those habits of lifting weights and getting in shape. So that's what we talked about last week. This week, those habits, we're going to talk about a little bit more in the sense of God has set us up for success with our physical health. Now, some of you guys were here Sunday, and you heard me speak a little bit on Sunday morning about that. I'm not going to necessarily do the same thing, but there's some spiritual points that we're going to pull out and correlate with that whole idea. Because here's the thing. The habits you set up now will be with you through the rest of your life. And so if you say you want to be sent into the world, say, man, God, use me for whatever you want. And yet you have poor physical health, you have poor habits that will later on in life attribute to poor physical health. Like I'm guilty. I'm a sugaraholic. I love sugar, right? And so I had to really realize that and put into perspective of what that is doing to my body and the road that I was traveling down, right? Because it might not be affecting me now, but it will eventually. And so some of these habits that you have now might not be affecting you now, but they will eventually. So the habits you set up now will help you with the rest of your life. That song, "You Don't Know You're Beautiful." Ever heard the line, "Beauty is in the eye of the beholder"? Or maybe Macklemore made this one famous with his thrift shop version of saying, "Hey, one man's trash is another man's treasure." Man, that line goes forever, ages ago. But these lines are talking about how everyone sees something differently, right? We don't all see the same thing. What might seem ugly to you or like gross is actually cool or unique to somebody else. If you don't believe me, just go to a museum. And shoot, I went to the museum, Cleveland Art Museum here, and it's like, oh, okay. It's a duck, right? It's a duck? No, I have no idea. Like, I could not tell. I look at some of this art stuff. We went to an art museum in Kansas City, and literally, this is what it was. It literally was a black painting like this, just about this big. Millions of dollars, black. And I was just like, I'm not sure that I would pay $20 for that. And yet it's in this museum. It's like, oh, wow, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, I'm not seeing it, right? And it's this idea that what's valuable to some people is not always seen as valuable to others, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And one thing that I also realized is the way that the painter feels about beauty. You know, you look at some of those pictures, and they're like trying to, like, I was hearing this museum guy talking, and this is, you know, his love, and you know, he just loved her so much, and all this stuff. He was talking about this painting. I'm like, she's ugly. I'm like, man, if he loved her, I mean, I figured he would take away some of the, like, stuff on there. She's nasty, right? And all of a sudden, like, you realize that ages ago, no, that was beautiful. You look at some of these museums and like, their bodies and what they dress like was like, oh, wow, that was really cool for back then, but now you're just weird and, like, that's gross and what, right? And so it's one of those things that all of a sudden, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And so the question is, who are we allowing to behold us? Who are we allowing to judge and tell us if we are beautiful, handsome, appropriate, or not? Who are we allowing to tell us that we look good or not? Because if beauty is in the eye of the beholder, then who are we looking to judge how we look? Often it's even ourselves. Are we looking in the mirror and are we viewing ourselves? See, here's the thing. Often at this age of life in the teens, in the 20s, in the 30s, and man, it keeps flowing with you, but it's this whole idea that health is viewed as physical appearance. If you're skinny, that means you're healthy, right? If you look good, that means you're healthy. If your skin looks clear, that means you're healthy. If you look muscular, that means you're healthy. But that's not always the case. As we know, and there's so many times that's really actually a lie. People suffer from all sorts of eating disorders, bulimia and anorexia and all sorts of things so that they look skinny. That's not healthy. People suffer with all sorts of addictions to even medical stuff so that they look muscular, steroids and all this stuff. That's not healthy. And yet, we're all about the physical appearance. You know what? People spend all sorts of nasty money on things that clear up your skin and acne and all this stuff. And they keep going after it because they think, hey, this is so important, and that's not healthy. And so it's this whole idea that we're buying into this lie that health is only skin deep, and that this physical health is something that we need to find, and other people is, how do we view this as beautiful, and where do we find that balance? So tonight we're going to look at physical health through a different lens, not just about what you put in your face. It's not just about what you eat and all that stuff, but it's also about this physical appearance, about how much time do we spend on the moneymaker, right? I know that this is what gets me all my money. I know that this is what sells. I know this is why you show up, because you're like, Pastor Donnie is so cool. He just looks so cool, right? That's why you guys show up, so I know. But we got to get past that. No, I'm just kidding. So here's the thing. Our bodies are a reflection of Christ to the world. Our bodies are a reflection to Christ to the world. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price," or at a price. "Therefore, glorify God with your body." If you're here Sunday, you heard that. I said that word glorify. Glorify means to represent with action. That word glorify literally means to represent with action. So when we glorify God with our body, that means to represent God with everything that we do to and with our body. So what does it mean? How do we represent God with our bodies? Like, do we have to walk around with like a halo now attached to ourselves, or just walk around, "Hello, I'm representing Jesus, hands wide open, arms wide open," right? No. Here it is. Physical health is often seen as the outward sign of an inward change. That's why we're concerned about physical appearance and all that stuff. It's an outward sign of an inward change. And now some of you think that you want to look like you are doing the part, right? Some of you want to make sure that, well, if that's an outward sign of an inward change, that means I need to look good on the outside. I need to put on the makeup. I need to go to the gym. I need to work out. I need to get rid of the acne. I need to do this because I want to show that I have an inward change. But that's not the case. That's just what the Pharisees did. See, the Pharisees did everything on the outside, saying, hey, look, we are super God followers, right? We see in the New Testament that they're constantly doing all this stuff to look super awesome. Like, wow, they're really good God followers. Like, they're the ones that wore the shirts that were like, "God and me are besties," right? And it's like, those are the kind of guys. And yet, that was all that they did. And so it's not necessarily our focus on changing our outside appearance. Our focus shouldn't be on that as much as it should be, "God, would you change the inside of me?" Because it's from the inside out that God does something in our lives, right? We'll get to this in a second, but it's about that seed. Last week we talked about this whole redwood seed that's on the inside that grows out. We have something on the inside of us that needs to grow out. That's the same thing with physical health. Is, "God, would you start to change something in the way that I view myself on the inside so that I can start growing out and affect the way that I appear to everyone else?" So physical health starts with a change in our heart to allow God to be the beholder of our beauty, to allow God to be the one that judges whether we look good or not, right? That he's the one that dictates. However, Satan loves to twist this in our culture today. We see that, right? We see if you're skinny, you're healthy. If you look good, then you're healthy. And that's not the case. And just like that seed, our bodies need to be taken care of properly to enable us to do what we were created to do, right? We discussed how we look like a seed, but inside the seed is the capability to be a giant redwood seed tree. If you see the seed, yeah, And you see this tree that inside that tiny little seed has that capability. Just like in each one of us, we have that capability. And so we need to start realizing who God is and who he's called us to be. The things that influence and impact that seed help it become all that's created. And we're all like that seed and need to look at what are we allowing to influence and impact us? What are we allowing to pour into us? Because that dictates what we really grow into and what we're created to be. Unfortunately, I used to live and still struggle with this life that's been pursuing, it jumps through hoops of wanting to be the most fashionable, you know, wanting to chase after style, wanting to go after the right language, wanting to do all the right exercises. In fact, you won't see me stretch out this arm much right now because I went to the gym a couple days ago and it hurts. Just doing that really hurts because I'm so sore, right? It's one of those things that I pursued all that and everything else for no other reason than this. And this isn't why I went to the gym this week, but I'll get to that in a second. But I grew up in this state because I want to look good and I want to feel good. That's why I dressed the way I dressed. That's why I pursued the things that I did. That's why I would run and I would work out. Why? Because I wanted to look good and feel good. That's all that I did. You know, growing up as a kid, I went shopping at Walmart and I went shopping at Old Navy and Kohl's, and that's all I knew. And then I met the master shopper, and that was Lauren. And she introduced me to something called the mall. I didn't realize that there is this place called the mall. And all of a sudden and I'm not saying anything's wrong with Walmart, Kohl's, Old Navy, but all of a sudden there's American Eagle and Hollister and Express and Gap, and I was like, oh wow, man, these clothes are cool. Then all of a sudden I grew up and I got a little bit more money and I realized there's Dillard's and Macy's and Saks, and I was like, wow. I mean, I know people that have spent over $200 on a pair of jeans. I get, like, bent out of shape if I have to spend over $30 on a pair of jeans. I don't even like spending that much. I'm like, ugh, right? Why? Because we want to feel and look good, right? When guys go to the gym and they want to look good, but then they won't help me move or anything, they're like, oh, sorry, man. Today was leg day. I just can't help you move. I'm like, why are you going to the gym? Dude, did you see my quads, though? Look at that. It's so awesome. Right? It's like, come on, dude. You just want to look good. Just want to look good. You're not actually getting muscle to do anything. We're missing the point. Now, see, I go to the gym now. I've realized, you know, I got all into that fashion world. I was like, no, I can't do this. I can't be that person. I don't have the money to spend on all that. I spent $80 on a pair of jeans, and I was like, you know how long those jeans lasted? The same amount of time that the $20 jeans lasted. I'm like, why am I doing this? So that I can say a brand that my belt will cover up and no one will even know? I'm like, why? Why? Right? I go to the gym now because I want to stay fit. I don't want to be prone to injury. I know that I want to build muscle in order to support my kind of lifestyle. I know that I also want to have enough energy to hang out with my boys and do what they do, because I know what I've done to my dad, and I know that I'm going to reap what I sow. And so I realize that my boys are going to take me on camping trips and hiking trips, and I want to be in shape enough to be able to do that with them. I don't want to get tired when I chase them up the steps and be like, right? I don't want to do that. I want to live to be over 100 years old, not just survive to over 100, but I want to thrive. I want to be strong to that point, right? Is it wrong to feel good or look good? No. So here's the thing. Don't stop putting on the makeup. Don't stop putting on deodorant, middle school boys, right? Don't stop doing some of that stuff. But when that's what we strive for, when that's the goal, to feel good, to look good, that's when it becomes the problem, because we're missing out on what God's called us to do. If I feel good, that means I look good. But don't let looking good become an idol in your life. Don't let looking good become this thing that you're always striving after, that you spend tons of time in front of the mirror making sure that you look good. because you want to make sure that you feel that way. This is what I want to get to. When we allow our physical health and appearance to be dictated by the physical appearance so much that we are putting our worth in our appearance instead of in who God says we are, that is the problem. When we're putting all of our worth in what we look like to say, you know what, yeah, I'm doing good, versus in who God's called us to be and who God says that we are, that's when the problem comes. And so here's the question. When you get dressed and ready, what are you concerned about? I want to make sure I feel good, so I'm just going to put on sweats and a hoodie. It's going to be great. Some of you guys have uniforms, so it's not necessarily the case. But when you go out with friends or something, man, I want to look fly. I want to look so sweet, right? I want to look good. Like when I get dressed, I'm like, Lord is going to think I'm so hot right now. Man, I can't wait to see, like, walk out and Lord's going to be like, oh, look at my husband. He is hot, right? Like, that's what I try to do when I'm getting ready. I'm like, is this going to, like, just drive Lauren crazy? Like, yeah, right? No, that's, the thing is, what are we asking? Are we asking, you know, what do my friends think? What's my team going to think? Or even to the point of, what do I think? What do I think? Do I look good? Do I like how I look? Do I like how I feel? Do I do that? Or the question should be this: what will God think? Because here's the point, is that we represent God with our bodies. That when people look at us, do they see God? Now, I'm not saying you need to go out and replace your whole wardrobe and have Jesus is the reason, or, right, like, selfie with God all the time. Like, you don't need to get those shirts. Now, nothing's wrong with those shirts. I used to own every one of those shirts that there was. Like, I had everything, and it was ridiculous. And I realized real fast, I look like a goober, right? Nothing's wrong if you want to wear it. I'm not saying you're a goober. I look like a goober. Typically because they're super baggy on me. I went through a stage where I wanted everything to reach my knees if I wore it as a shirt. And so it just was like, I always got like 2XLs. And I was just like, yeah, I'm so cool, right? It's like short sleeves or long sleeves because I was a scrawny little kid. It was ridiculous. But here's the thing. It's not bad to look good. But the question is, where are you seeking your approval from? If beauty is in the eye of the beholder, who are you allowing to behold you or dictate the way that you dress? If it's anyone other than God, that's the issue. And when we talk that we are the reflection of God to the world, you know, that's saying, no, I want to be able to connect with the world. That's one of the reasons why on Wednesday nights I don't dress up in a suit and tie. And I don't have a three-piece suit on or a tuxedo on like that when I talk to you guys. Why? Because I want to be able to connect with you. When I go to schools, I don't dress up in a suit or anything. Why? Because I want to be able to connect and say, hey, this is just who I am. This is just me. You know, and we live in a culture that's jeans and t-shirt kind of culture. And so that's why I dress the way that I do. Some of you guys are like, you put way too much thought into connecting with this culture and stuff. But that's important to me. And some of you guys have known, I've asked you, hey, you can say anything about any part of our student ministry to help it get better, all the way down to the clothes that I wear and the cologne that I put on and the way that I style my hair. I've let some of you guys have that freedom with me. Now, I look so good, none of you guys ever address my clothing. But it's one of those things that I'm aware of that, and I want to be relevant. Because I realize that how I look reflects God to other people. And I don't want to be a hindrance to that. I don't want anything to hinder my ability to be used by God to communicate to you or anyone else. So I'll do whatever it takes. I'll dress up like a fool on a Sunday morning with a headband and run around stage so that somebody can say, man, that guy's crazy and I kind of like him. He's kind of funny. I'll wear the suit and tie when I go into a place of business or something like that so that they can say, hey, you know, that guy takes us seriously, right? I understand that I represent God wherever I go. So I think about how I dress, and I want to be a vessel that God can use. So when you're getting dressed, and when you're going out, when you're putting on the makeup, when you're taking the shower, when you're doing some of this, and some of you guys are like, man, I feel like this is really majoring on a minor thing, but I'm telling you, every aspect of your life God wants to take a hold of. Every aspect of your life God wants to move through. It's not like he just wants to move through your mouth when you have all of a sudden a conversation with somebody that says, I don't know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Yes, this is the moment I've been waiting for. God, take over. No, God says, I want to use every aspect of your life. The way when you missed the final shot that could have sent your team to the championship. The way that you study for your test or don't study. The way that you look, the way that you act on a date or hanging out with your friends or in a McDonald's restaurant. God says, I want to use every aspect of you, including your physical health and your physical appearance. So how are you representing God? I want to look at the story of David real fast. Someone that was overlooked by everyone, who wasn't seen as anyone who was going to make a big dent in the world. Why? Because his appearance and his age, he didn't look that great. And if he allowed others to dictate his call, if he allowed beauty to be in the eye of other people instead of God, he wouldn't have done what he did. He wouldn't have been the great king and vessel that God used him for. At every mark, people didn't think much of him. Samuel the prophet, the guy that came to say that, hey, God has anointed you as king, he was looking at the outside appearance. He was looking at David's brothers and saying, man, surely these guys got it going on. Like, this oldest brother, he looks good. He looks fit. Like, he's just ripped. Awesome. He's a tall guy. This guy is going to make an awesome king. And this is what God said to Samuel the prophet. It said in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as the man sees. Man looks at looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. David got overlooked by his father because he didn't even show up to that meeting. His father was just like, I've totally forgot about him. I just have him out, you know, tending some sheep, right? His brothers, when he showed up on the battlefield, his brothers were like, dude, punk, get out of the way. What are you saying? You're dumb. Get back to your sheep, right? Overlooked. There's no way you can be a help. Like, if he actually looked buff and strong, they'd be like, dude, David, totally go out there and kick that guy's butt. You got this, man. But no, he didn't look like anything. His appearance wasn't much, right? Even King Saul was like, you're just a youth. You're just a small kid. You're just a punk. Don't even try to do this. Even goes on. People looked at David not because of what was on the inside of him, but because of his appearance on the outside. And we said beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So don't allow people to dictate God's call on your life. Don't allow people to tell you where you fit in God's call. No. You can't do that. You're not gifted enough. That's not your area. Hey, that's just not where you are. And yet God says, no, you know what? I want to do something new in you. God created you just the way you are for a reason. He gave you your face. He gave you your body. He gave you your talents for a reason. If David had listened and believed those people that had judged him based on his physical appearance, he would have never been the king that God created him to be. Even later in his life, David was mocked for looking funny, right? 2 Samuel 6, verse 20 through 22, David was returning home from this awesome time where he was bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, and he was dancing, and he was going crazy. He's like, yeah, God's awesome! And when David, it says this, when David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, that king that came before him, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do. Basically saying, look, you just flaunt around like no one cares. You look like an idiot. You look dumb. And David retorted, said, I was dancing before the Lord. the Lord there, talking about the great I am, talking about the creator of the universe, talking about the one that formed his family and put him in the position he's at. He said, he chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel and the people of the Lord. So I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I'm unwilling to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. See, David knew who he was before God. The question is, do you know who you are before God? That God has this awesome calling on your life. That sometimes we're so timid, I don't want to talk about it. Man, I don't want to be that guy at school that's always like, hey, Jesus, you should show up to church. I don't want to be that guy. No one wants to be that guy. That's awkward. I don't want to be that guy. And yet, David said, I'll become foolish even in my own eyes, so that God would get the glory. Because my beauty is not in the eye of the beholder down here. It's in the eye of the beholder up there. It's in the eye of the Most High God. David knew that the most important thing about his life was living for God. So here are two thoughts for tonight. One, how I live is more important than how I look. How I live is more important than how I look. People will judge you based on physical appearance, and it's easy to get consumed with how you look. But when you allow yourself to be more concerned with what others say about you, or even what you say about you, even what you say in the mirror to yourself, than what God says about you, then that's the issue. A lot of the time we get to a place where we're only concerned about how we feel and not necessarily about how we represent God. Some of you didn't catch that. Sometimes we get to this point where we're so concerned about how we feel or how others view us and not how we're actually representing God in that moment. Number two, how you treat your body and what you do with your body matters. How you treat your body and what you do with your body matters. It matters to God. Our bodies are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, it says, you say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. Food is not a bad thing. Makeup is not a bad thing. Designer jeans aren't a bad thing. Clothes aren't bad things. But we can allow those things to become idols in our lives. And when we start to stress over, oh, how am I going to get that new item? Oh, I got to have time to put on makeup. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to look good. All of a sudden, it's showing that has control over us. Genesis 1, verse 27 says this, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You are a reflection of God. What you do with your body matters. How you treat your body matters. That's why when people start to get into all sorts of depression and they suffer with eating disorders of anorexia and bulimia, that's why when they start to get addicted to just going into the gym and working out, when they start to get so consumed with what they're eating and they're wanting to do all this stuff, when they start to get consumed with, I got to have a release of some sort, and they start to do self-harm, when they start to take pills of all sorts of stuff that dictate their emotions, all of a sudden they become a slave to their bodies, and that's not where God wants us to be. God says, I want to give you freedom. Now, I want you to walk out in joy. I want you to walk out knowing that I have called you to do great and mighty things. And how you treat your body is a reflection of your relationship with me. And so we need to treat our bodies well. We need to honor God with our bodies. We are a reflection of Christ. And so people see us, or when they see us, they have the opportunity to see God the Father. And so that's why physical health is such an important transformation that we have to get in our heads of saying, God, I want to understand that I need to live fully for you, that how I live is so much more important than how I look. And what I do with my body and how I treat my body matters to you, God. You didn't just give me this body and say, all right, see you in about 75 years, 80 if you're lucky, right? God said, no, I want to be with you every step of the way. I want to reflect through you to the people around you. So tonight, The team's going to come back up, and we're going to end with this song, because so often when we talk about physical health and physical appearance, we start to get down on ourselves of, man, I just don't look good enough. Oh, I'm just not doing this good enough. And all of a sudden, the very thing that we're supposed to be fighting against, we just get consumed with. And so I want to get our focus back on God. Get our focus on the attention of God. You are the fire. You start something inside of me that would burn away every other desire. And I just want to have a desire to strive after you with every ounce of my being. With everything that I am, God, I want to seek you. So I want you guys to go ahead and let's stand up. Let's stand up. If you guys want to find a space throughout the room, you can. If you want to stay in your seat or in these aisles, that's fine. But I want you to get alone with God for just the next couple minutes. And let's just worship him. And let's just say, God, I'm giving over my body to you. What I put in my body, how I treat my body, how I live, and how I look. God, I want you to be my main concern. I know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I don't want anyone else to be what I'm concerned with and dictate my physical appearance. I want it to be dictated by you. Let's just worship God right now.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.